Lady Avalier reached out a hand and gently stroked Cattybree's thick hair. "Oh, dear girl," she said, her voice as smooth as the flower's petal. "Do you not understand that I have come to love you as if you were my own daughter?" "Yes, lady," Cattybree heard herself replying. "I'm merely wounded, truly wounded, that you did not trust me with your secret. I didn't think you would understand. Faith, child, faith," Lady Avalier cooed. "I am your mentor, not your enemy." She drew Cattybree to her side and looked all around. "Tell me about this place. It is your shrine to this goddess, yes?" "Mialiki," Cattybree whispered. "Yes. Well, do tell me more. Surely you have been blessed by her. I have seen the marking."
Cattybree's hand reflexively went to her opposite forearm, to the unicorn-shaped spell scar she carried.
"Your spell scar, yes. And the powers it affords you," Lady Avalier said, though Cattybree noticed that Avalier had not even looked down or followed Cattybree's inadvertent movement. "Tell me of it. Tell me of Mialiki," Lady Avalier purred. "And tell me of this dark elf and the mountain under the stars."
Had she been of her reasoning faculties at that moment, Cattybree would have understood that Lady Avalier had garnered much more information than she could surmise by the garden. For Cattybree had not spoken openly of Drizzt, had merely thought of him and pictured him.
"Tell me, Rukia,"
Lady Avalier prompted.
"Cattybree,"
the disciple of Mialiki corrected. Lord Paris Ulfbinder sat in his grand chair, his hands together and before his pursed lips. He didn't blink as Lady Avalier poured forth the wild claims of young Rukia of Edessai. "She is chosen of Mialiki," Paris said a long while after the diviner had finished her lengthy tale. Lady Avalier could only shrug.
"It would seem."
"And you believe her?"
Again the woman shrugged, but this time she added a nod.
"A Bedine child, a chosen of Mialiki, who is not a Bedine goddess?"
Paris asked skeptically.
"But she says she is not a Bedine child," Lady Avalier said. "She claims her name is not Rukia, but Cattybree."
It was Paris Ulfbinder's turn to shrug, for the name meant nothing to him.
"A woman from another time, before the spell plague."
"That is quite a claim. Is it not more likely that she is merely trying to protect her outlaw parents?"
"So I thought," Lady Avalier replied. "But her claims..."
"Desperate claims for a desperate young woman."
"She was adopted by a dwarf in this previous life,"
Lady Avalier interrupted.
"A dwarf king."
The end of his intended sentence caught in Paris's throat. "A dwarf king?" he asked instead.
"King Brunner Battlehammer of Mithril Hall," Lady Avalier explained. "She told me this under my charmed Weomer, under a spell of hypnosis, under the power of magical suggestion."
"She completed the concocted story," Paris argued.
"There is a record of such a king in the library of Shadonclave."
"So the girl visited the library?"
"And a mention of his adopted daughter, Cattybree."
"So the girl went to the library,"
Lord Paris Ulfbinder shouted.
"It was taken in the night by the ghost of Mialiki's unicorn."
Lady Avalier talked over him. Paris fell back in his chair and meekly asked,
"What do you mean?"
"This human daughter of King Brunner, driven mad by the spell plague, died in the night and was spirited away from her bed by a celestial unicorn, so goes the legend."
She paused and painted a wry grin on her face.
"Away from the bed of her dark elf husband, Drizzt Do'Urden."
Lord Paris Ulfbinder was among the most composed and dignified men in Shade Enclave, but the gulp and squeal that issued forth seemed more the cry of a startled child. He leaped up, his chair flying out behind him.
"A name you have mentioned before, yes?"
Lady Avalier said, grinning wider still. "This is madness," said Paris, rushing and stumbling around his desk to take a seat on it right before the woman. "Are you sure that you have not mentioned this name to her? Perhaps you inadvertently put her on the road to concoct this wild story."
"I don't know that I have ever spoken that name before, or heard it, other than in this very room."
"But the child is magical. Perhaps she has slipped an insidious Dwyamer past your guards and read your thoughts."
"That would be quite a scouring. I do not concern myself with the Dark Elf. I did not even recall the name until Rukia, until Catti Bree spoke it to me, and even then it barely sparked recognition. It was not until she mentioned this drizzed creature's race that I even recalled our long-ago conversation about Lord Drago's drow prisoner."
"His lost prisoner."
"We may find him then, for this child is determined to find him sometime after the Year of the Awakened Sleepers. Indeed, she has fellow conspirators in this, who she intends to rejoin on the night of the spring equinox in that same year."
"Bedine conspirators?"
Lady Avalier shook her head.
1484, Lord Paris mumbled. 5 years, almost to the day.
He scratched at his goatee.
"Interesting indeed."
"What do I do?"
"Let her go," Paris cried immediately, "and watch her every step. We may witness a battle of Toril's goddesses, and what a sight that will be!"
Lady Avalier didn't openly respond to that, but her expression spoke volumes, most of all revealing her relief.
"Why, lady," Paris said teasingly, "you have come to love the girl."
Lady Avalier rocked back on her heels and considered the words. Her first impulse was to staunchly deny the accusation, but she quickly put that aside and honestly searched deep within herself. "She has such promise and skill," she replied. "A curiosity and a hope, from her earliest days."
"It is more than professional curiosity," said her friend, who knew her well.
Lady Avalier nodded.
"You think her a protege?"
"Thought," Lady Avalier was quick to reply, correcting the tense. "Now I understand."